Isn't it great when things don't work like they're supposed to? Actually, it is. I remember the first time we did that, Dale Anderson came with his special magic electronics and wireless signals, and the first time we did this, no one had ever seen it before, it was little Jacob Simpkins. You remember? Oh, it was one of the magic moments in the history of this church for me. He takes that little candle, and he goes over there, and he touches the tree, and the whole thing lights up. And he was young enough, he didn't know how that happened. And he turned around, and you remember? His eyes were like this. How did I do that? For some of us, maybe today could be a little magic moment too. You know, little Elsie goes over and touches a tree, and nothing happens. And Pastor Jay's eyes go wide. Why didn't that happen? And you know, the word here is wonder. You know, children have wonder. There's so much they don't know, and they know they don't know it. And they're discovering new powers all the time. Amazing things! Wow! And the sad thing is that we adults watch that with this sort of knowing, smug look like, yeah, that's fun, but we know how it all works. And then sometimes things don't work. Sometimes we're reminded that we actually don't have as much knowledge and power and control as we think we do. And an okay response to that, I think, is, wow. And we don't want to lose that as adults. And so if anything in this little snafu here, little object lesson for me, and you can take it if you want also, is let's keep our wonder. Not just in things we can control and kind of sneak on kids and fool them and, wow, look at that. But also in the fact that we live in a world where there's a lot of wow for us. There are a lot of amazing things that happen, and we have no idea how that happened. Wow. Let's keep that. You know, I wasn't here last week. And by the way, what a blessing to be in a church where we have many wonderful Bible teachers. And honestly, what a wonderful thing for me to be in a church where I have such a capable a communicator, man of God, partner in Danny Fierro, who I go away and he preaches for us, and I have absolute confidence. My biggest gripe of why I wasn't here last week was I didn't get to hear him, as you all did. But I wouldn't trade because I was in Seattle for Thanksgiving with my family, with our sons and daughter-in-laws, and Maggie went up with us, and so we had a family Thanksgiving up there with our two new grandsons, one of whom is, what, two? 20 months old. So almost two. Thank you. 20 months? Yeah, they'd be almost 24, which would be two, right? Okay, the math is good. The memory isn't that good, but okay. So he's one, he's almost two, and the other one is sick, 7 months? Got that one right. But one of the things that's kind of fun to watch around the Thanksgiving table is how we're teaching Xander, the older, almost two-year-old, about words of power. You know, oh, you want this cookie? You want some more Jell-O? What do you say? Anyone else been there? Probably on both sides of this. What do you say? Yeah, or as Xander says it, knees. Anything with an E vowel sound will qualify at this point in his life. E. And that's good. And he speaks the magic word, the word of power, and things happen. He gets the cookie. He gets the Jell-O. It doesn't work with his six-month-old cousin, Lincoln. He doesn't know how to say knees yet. Maybe later his older cousin can offer him some words of wisdom. Yeah, it doesn't always work, but generally the pleas will get you stuff you want, buddy. And make sure to throw in a nice big anku. Thank you. Afterwards, parents eat that stuff up. Words to the wise. Hear them and heed them, and you will understand how things work. Words of power, words of wisdom. It starts early. and it continues through life. Now, the first 18 verses of the fourth gospel is the Apostle John's Christmas story. There are no angels, no shepherds, no wise men, no star, no Bethlehem, no Herod, no Joseph, no Mary. Just Jesus and the world, and a mention of a couple of other guys who don't appear in any of our manger scenes, John the Baptist and Moses. It's what many see, and I certainly would agree, is the big picture view of Christmas, the biggest picture, the largest view. John's Christmas Jesus is the same one in the manger, but he especially reveals him as the eternal Jesus who fills the cosmos. To tell of his arrival on earth, John must go back to creation and beyond. John begins his gospel in the beginning. Where have we heard that before? Well, John intentionally begins his presentation of Christmas by taking us back to the beginning of everything that begins. The start of the whole Bible. The story of creation. Hear the word of God. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this beautiful day, for the wonderful celebration that we are enjoying as your people. Lord, I pray that you would now help us to know your word, to hear what it is that you have for us. Lord, we count on your Holy Spirit to be with us, to illuminate us as we listen and think about your words here from the beginning of John's gospel. Lord, may they make a difference for us as we continue to walk with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. In the beginning was the Word. This word in Greek is this loaded word we've talked about before, logos. It's a bit odd sounding to us. I mean, if we're honest, I remember the first time I heard this, I said, oh, why did he say that? I mean, in the beginning God created. We know about that. But in the beginning was the Word? What is that? I mean, is this a magic word of power? An illuminating word of wisdom? Well, this word is both and more. John uses the resources of language and philosophy available to him in the first century to help people of every century know the high and holy Jesus of Christmas. There's a Hebrew background to this word, word. It's the actualizing expression of God's power, word. In a way, it's the top-down view from God to creation. Do you remember how the creation story unfolds? And God said, let there be. And there was. God speaks things into being. He creates out of nothing by the word that he speaks. Let there be. So there's a sense that word, the spoken word by God, is a creative, powerful word. There's part of the background for John saying in the beginning was the Word. But there's also a Greek perspective on this. This logos, this word, is the organizing principle of the universe. For the Greeks, Greek philosophers, they wanted to know things. And they had this problem of unity and diversity, all the diverse things that we observe. How do we account for it? Are there principles behind it? Are there organizing principles out of which we see these things and we observe these happenings? Science. The Logos is something like the reason for everything, this ultimate purpose, the fundamental principle of the universe, the Logos. Maybe you could see this as sort of a bottom-up view. We see all this stuff around us, we observe, and we're trying to think our way up to kind of the ultimate reality that lay behind these things. For other Greek philosophers, this logos word gives way to the word nous, which means, N-O-U-S, which means mind, the mind of God, trying to find the mind of God. But it's essentially the same thing. The mind of God behind the things that we see and the events that we observe. It's what, I think, scientists seek and find. Reasons, principles, patterns, laws. Biologists and zoologists and psychologists and sociologists and ecologists. It's in their name. Logos. Logists. It's where we get our word logic. How do you make sense of things? And this wisdom aspect of word is not foreign to the Hebrews either. There's a very famous chapter, Proverbs 8, where wisdom is personified, where wisdom is seen as the first creation of God, and then the agent through which everything is created. Wisdom is created, and then through wisdom, everything else is created. Again, kind of parallels to what we read in John. And John then takes us to creation and beyond. The word is God's creative power, God's ultimate wisdom, but it is also a He, the eternal, uncreated Son of God. John's inspiration, synthesizing this Hebrew view in a sense and this Greek view in a sense and seeing all of it in Jesus, and then he adds on top of that, it's a person. The Word is Jesus. John offers us the language of the Greeks from a man of the Hebrew culture and a friend of Jesus. Jesus is everything the Greeks and the Hebrews meant by the word, Word, the Logos, and Jesus is more. The Word is a person. Inspired by God's Spirit and through his experience with Jesus himself, John adds the Christian essence of personhood for God the Son. The highest word of power and the ultimate word of knowledge and wisdom is a person. The Word is the person of Jesus. And John says, the Word was with God. Which means that it is a person distinct from God the Father. Here is God, and here is this Word that is Jesus, and they are with. Which means there must be some distinction, right? But then he goes on to say, somewhat paradoxically, and the Word was God. And now, instead of being distinct, they are one and the same essence, one God. Here you have beautifully an expression of the triune nature of God. One God in three distinct persons. The ultimate mystery of the Christian faith. Here is an expression of the mystery of the two natures found united in the person of Jesus. A unity that we cannot ultimately figure out, but we can affirm because God has revealed it. Jesus is fully God, and Jesus is fully human. It's the mystery of the incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Merry Christmas from John the Apostle. But what does all of this mean for us? Since the highest word of power and the ultimate word of knowledge and wisdom is a person, it can be and is God's final word of life-giving love. Add this to the word of creative power and the word of ultimate wisdom that is Jesus. He is the word of eternal life-giving love. Without this love, all the magic words of power, and illuminating words of wisdom and knowledge will ultimately fail us. But with this love, whatever modicum of power and knowledge we have will be enough. God's love changes everything. And Christmas is, above all else, an expression of God's love. John himself will make this abundantly clear two chapters later in his gospel story of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. Let's go back to my grandsons for a minute. Xander's please and thank you are good words. Words of wisdom. Words in his world of power. But they only work because of a higher, prior, and more holy word spoken not by him, but to him. By mom and dad. I love you, my son. And let me point out that this word works also for his six-month-old cousin, yet unable to articulate any words. I love you, my son. Friends, there's a picture of us. There's a picture of Christmas. There's a picture of the Word. God speaks his word, I love you, to us in Jesus Christ. And that's the only reason why any of our words of wisdom and power are going to work. It's God's word that works. It's God's word that is powerful and wise and love. And that is the word that he speaks in Jesus Christ. Jesus and Christmas are about so much more than a word of power or of wisdom we can understand and use. They are about God's higher, prior, and more holy word. I love you, my child. 1 Corinthians 1:22 and 24. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And all this works because we have been called and enabled to say powerfully and truthfully, along with John the Apostle, he is Christ, the love of God. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Merry Christmas from John the Apostle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas, for your coming for us to seek and to say. Lord, we thank you that you spoke creation into existence. Lord, that you speak wisdom into your world and into our lives. But more than that, Lord, we thank you that you have spoken your love into the world and into our lives in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. It's time.